everybody. Can you guys do me a big favor? Stand up. Everybody, stand up. I want to do something today. Different. A little different. Okay? I've been up here in the front, and most of the time, you're down here, and you're praying for people, and there's need after need after need that's coming up here. You know what I got today? I got praise report after praise report after praise report. Give our God a hand, will you? Come on. I mean, he is such an awesome God. There is none like unto him. You guys can sit down now. Thank you. Okay? God is good. God is good. There you go. Now you sound like you might even believe it. Okay? Before I get started, how many of you like the snow out there again this morning? Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to see what the rest of the day brings. It's going to be fantastic, isn't it? Come on. We're here inside where it's warm. And you know what? We're inside here and it's warm. And you know what today is?
This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice
and be glad. Yeah, that's it. Yes. And I can tell you one other thing. No matter who wins the Super Bowl today, the really great thing for me is I'm going to eat way too much food again today. Okay? If you'd have seen some of them other spreads that we've had, man, it's crazy. And somebody here, I don't know who it is, they bring in fresh walleye and they fry it up and it's all out there and it's delicious. And then there's pizza and then people bring desserts. So, you know, somebody said there was enough food. No, there's never enough food. So if you have food or a special dessert you want to bring, make sure you bring it, and chocolate is my favorite, okay? It's a good time. It's a good time.
Hallelujah.
Isn't it good to be in the house of God today? It is just such an awesome honor and a privilege that we have. And you know what? Sometimes these privileges that we have, sometimes we take them for granted. You ever think about that? I've been in places where you're not allowed to speak the name of Jesus. I've been in countries where you're not allowed to talk about Jesus, or you can get in trouble. You got to do it underground. But here, we live in a country where we're free to make much about Jesus. Where we can get together like this on Sundays and Wednesdays and every day we want to celebrate what an awesome God we serve. Who is like unto him? None like unto him. So when I got ready for this week's message, it's rather strange. I'm going to take you all the way around the circle on this message today. The name of the message says, "Not Ashamed of the Gospel." Now, this isn't going to be the kind of message that you think it's going to be. But this is one that the Lord gave me. And I said, "Okay, Lord, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm preparing you, Chip. I'm going to prepare this congregation for what I have in store for them. And I need them to get ready." And then that word was asked to me, not to you guys, but to me. "Are you ashamed?" "No, God, I'm not ashamed." "Oh, really?" And then he put a few instances into my mind, and I thought, "Lord, forgive me. Maybe I am a little bit ashamed of his gospel." So I bought some shirts the other day, and you know what's really crazy? Kathy Creed was kind enough to give me one of those masks that you wear over your face, and it says, "Jesus loves you." Okay? And there were some other things on there, and I would put those masks on, and I would wear them most places. But you know what? I didn't wear them all places. And I thought to myself, why am I not wearing this all places? Am I ashamed of the gospel? Am I as committed to God as he is to me? And I thought, "Lord, thank you. I'm going to wear that everywhere." So I started wearing it everywhere. And it was amazing. As I started to wear it everywhere, I would get people coming to me and pull me by the side and say, "I believe too." I said, "Okay, then why are we whispering?" "Well, I'm at work and I can't let anybody know I'm a believer." Why can't you let anybody know at work you're a believer? "Oh, because they may make fun of me. I may get fired," whatever. "But I just want to let you know, thank you, I'm a believer too." And then I would go to the next place and somebody would smile and give me a little thumbs up when people weren't looking. I mean, are we ashamed? Are we? I want to take us through something today that God gave to me, and it helped me tremendously, and I hope maybe it helps you. So let me read to you this scripture. It comes out of 2 Timothy 1. Therefore, do not be
ashamed.
Do not be
ashamed.
Come on, say it like you mean it. Do not be
ashamed
of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner. But share with me in the
sufferings.
Share with me in what?
Sufferings.
Oh my. Don't be ashamed. Because guess what? When we're not ashamed, guess what comes along with the boldness?
Suffering.
Okay, how many of you want suffering in your life? But it says that Jesus was caused to sit down at the right hand of the Father, having his righteousness perfected in his sufferings. If Christ's righteousness was perfected in his sufferings, where do you think ours is going to get perfected? In our sufferings. And here is this man, Paul, speaking, and he's saying, hey, don't be ashamed of me, and don't be ashamed of the gospel. Stand tall in who you are in Christ, and don't be ashamed. And partake with me in the
sufferings.
Now, nobody told me when I came down to give my heart and life to Christ that this is what I was signing up for. I didn't know I was signing up for the sufferings. I thought I was signing up for the good stuff. I came that you might have life and have it more. Oh, we know that one. And the Lord says, and I know the plans that I have for you, a plan to... Oh, we know that one too, don't we? But when it comes to the ones where it says that we are should be partakers in the sufferings, even as Christ suffered, or even as Paul suffered and others suffered, boy, those don't jump right out at us. You know what I found interesting as I was studying this? I got to a place where some of the disciples had gotten beaten. I mean severely beaten. And they were taken advantage of, and they were not treated very nicely, and they were put into the innermost part of the jail, and they began to rejoice, not because they were put into jail, but because they had been found worthy to suffer for the gospel. I knew it was going to get real quiet in here today. How many of us rejoice and get happy and sing songs when we are being persecuted or made fun of? But see, these people understood why they were being made fun of. They understood what Christ had done for them, and they weren't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they participated in the sufferings of Christ with great gladness. Oh, Father, help me. Not you guys, help me. Help me to get to the place where I can rejoice when I'm suffering for your gospel and your son's sake. Share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Now stop. Don't move. You don't go from there yet. You know what happened to those apostles and disciples when they were in jail and they were rejoicing in their sufferings? The power of God came down on that jail so heavy that the doors shook and the chains fell off. Huh? So in the middle of our sufferings is where the power of God is. So without the sufferings, guess what? When they were in there and they were suffering, the jailer come running out and was ready to put a knife in himself because he knew if he lost any of the prisoners, he'd be put to death. And they all said, ho, don't hurt yourself. We're all still sitting here. And he said, why are you still sitting here? And they said, let me tell you about the God we serve. And the jailer and his whole family gave their heart and life to Christ that day. Right? Would that have happened without the sufferings?
No.
So listen, I know it's not what we want to come into our life, but the sufferings come. And I've already told the staff, the more bold we get for Christ, the more the attacks are going to come, the more the sufferings are coming. Amen. And I said, guess what? That's how you know you're doing what's right. If the old devil's leaving you alone, you know what he thinks of you? He thinks you're a useless weapon laying over the corner that ain't going to be effective for anybody. Don't mess with him. He's already useless. But the ones that get out and are not ashamed of his gospel, that stand for Christ and they partake in the sufferings, that's where the power of God comes down upon us. The next one says this: not ashamed of his gospel because he saved me. And not only did he save me, he called me. He called you and I. After we've been saved, he called us. And it's a holy calling that's on our life. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. He saved us not because we got such a great work we do, but he saved us because he has a purpose for us and because his grace is upon us, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. You know, we had this. God knew that we were going to need a Savior even before he created the world. And he loved us so much that he had the answer even before the problem was created. That's how committed God is to us. I got news for you. No matter how bad I've been, no matter what I've done, God is not ashamed of me. He is not ashamed of me. And if he's not ashamed of me in all the stuff that I've done, then why in the world would I ever be ashamed of him and the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ? Come on, church. It's time for us to get out of this shell. It's time for us to come alive. The old devil has convinced us for too long with the prosperity message and other things that people teach today. If you give your heart and life to Christ and you give your money, you're going to get rich. Not what the Bible says. It says you give your heart and life to me. I have a purpose and a calling, and I need you to participate in my sufferings with me. And when we do, the power of God comes down, and that's where the joy is. That's when we can rejoice even in the sufferings. But how will we ever experience that power unless we participate in the sufferings? Now, this is my favorite part. Go to the next one. Who has abolished death? God looked down, who was never ashamed of me, and he abolished death in my life. What was due me? A death sentence. And he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And in that is light and life for the whole world. And how are they ever going to know it unless somebody tell them? How are they going to know that there's something better out there for them in this world unless we start opening our mouths? Unless we start standing proud in who we are in Christ? And you say, oh, devil, bring it on. Because the more I suffer, the more the power of God comes on my life, and the more I'm going to rejoice in what an awesome God I serve. Next slide. This is the cool part, and this is for all of us. To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now listen, I want to stop and go backwards for a minute, okay? You understand that the Jewish people did not associate with the Gentiles. To do so was a big disgrace. But Paul was told, I don't care what you've been told. Those are my people too. We're his people too. And you go take this word that I've given to you and to my people who've rejected it, and you take it to the Gentiles. And when they first found out that Paul was talking to the Gentiles, you know what the Jews said? What are you doing? You're not even allowed to associate with them. You're not allowed to eat dinner with them. And you're taking the gospel to them. His own people started to turn against him. He didn't care. Because God says, I want you to go take this word to the Gentiles. And praise God he did. And because of that, we got it today. And he obeyed. And because he obeyed, he got great rewards. He got a new donkey. He got a new chariot. He got a new palace to live in. He got all them things, right? What'd he get? And even where he went, they would take and bind his hands and say, this is to signify how your life is going to end. And he said, I don't care. I don't care. Whatever it takes, I am going to do what God tells me to do. And that is, I am supposed to take this gospel to the Gentiles. Now, has God told us to do something? He said, go ye what? Into all the world and what? Spread the gospel. So guess what? We got the same calling on us that Paul's got. God's still looking up down there from heaven and saying, those people that are out there living in sin are still my sons and daughters. Oh, please. Please, somebody tell them. Please, somebody go to them. Please, somebody, don't be ashamed of this gospel. Don't be afraid to suffer. And in your sufferings, my power and my presence will be with you. And he says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I am teaching my enemy, who is no longer my enemy because God says they're not. I am teaching the people that my teachings have told me I should not associate with, and I am associating with them because God says they're my people too. And when we look at those that are lost out there in the world, sometimes we say, hey, they're getting what they deserve. Oh, shame on me. Those are still God's people. And unless we tell them, how will they know? And he says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now this is the part. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have. What's that word? Oh, wait. I have been persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have. One more time.
Committed.
One more time.
Committed.
There you go. What I've committed to him unto that day. You know what that day is? That's the day when I get home and I stand before God. Okay? Now I want to stay on that slide for just a minute. When I spoke to the youth group one time, the Lord asked me to do this one scripture right here. You know what the word persuaded means? That means you've been convinced, okay? Something has happened in your life that has convinced you of something. So what I did, and the Lord gave this to me, I brought in some bags that were all sealed up. And I said, today I want to play Monty Hall. I want to play Let's Make a Deal. I said, today, and I looked around the room at the kids' shoes. I said, I want you to bring your shoes up here, and I want you to bring your shoes up here, and I want you to bring your shoes up here. And I put these four bags in front of them. I said, today I'd like to swap these four bags for your shoes. Well, they said, absolutely not. We don't know what's in that bag. I said, okay, can I persuade you? Can I try to convince you that what's in this bag is better than those shoes? And the one little girl, she started crying. I said, what's wrong? She said, I had to wear my favorite shoes today, didn't I? These are the only shoes I don't ever want to lose. I said, you're the person that I want to have up here. I said, let me ask you a question. What's the most favorite thing in your life? And she gave me something. I said, okay, what's the second most favorite thing in your life? And I said, you're not going to believe this, but inside that bag happens to be two of the most favorite things in your life. And now she's perked up. And now I open up the bag and I said, oh, in your bag, there's something really special in here. And I was beginning to persuade her that she should leave her shoes and take the bag. Okay? And so I said, now listen, I'm going to give you a few more hints. And I kept giving them hints. And pretty soon the one girl says, I know this is my favorite pair of shoes. And I know this probably isn't going to work out for me, but I think I'll take the bag. And in the bottom of the bag was a brick to make it heavy because I let them feel it. And I wanted them to not know what was in there. But also there was two $100 bills. And when they opened up the bag, they all started screaming. Okay? They had been persuaded to take the bag. Okay? what I see is Christ in my life, all throughout my life, in all the trials and all the tribulations and all the problems, in all the sickness that I've gone through, I've seen that he never leaves me nor forsakes me. No matter what I get myself into, he's the faithful one. And so I have been persuaded in my life that I know that he is able to keep me. He is able to keep me no matter what I go through. And he has showed up time and time and time again till I have been persuaded that I know that I know that I know that I can trust the one that I believe in. When are we going to get to the place where we finally say, yes, I believe? And no matter the consequence, no matter what happens, I am going to do, Father, what you ask me to do. But the key is that he is able to keep that which I have. Committed. What's that word?
Committed.
Committed. We're going to get into that word for a little bit here. To him until that day. Now let's go to the next one. Now there's another word that also is out there. You can be committed or you can be involved. We're going to get to this in a minute. But the Lord said that I should use this parable to help explain. So I want to get to the next part here. The parable of the sower. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude there gathered together to him. So he got in a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and they yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, could you imagine hearing this from Jesus and thinking, what in the heck is he talking about? What's he talking about sowing seed for? Well, everybody knows that the seed that's being sown is the gospel. And the gospel as it's sown gets received in many different ways. But what I want to talk to you today about is this parable and how it relates to us today. So if you go to the next slide, this is the parable explained. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. You see that word that's underlined? Does not understand it. Okay? Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown into their heart. This is who receives the seed by the wayside. Now don't go away from there. Stay there. All right. I want to use some examples to try to help you with this. Bill, I'm going to pick on you again today, and I apologize, okay? Those that don't understand it. Bill got a new truck, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago, something like that, okay? And he pulls it out in the parking lot, and he said, Chip, come help me. Yeah, what's wrong? I can't turn this light off, and I can't start this, and I can't make this happen. He bought a new truck, and it's got all these buttons and all this stuff on it, and he's over there, and we were there about 20 minutes trying to turn his back cargo light out. And we couldn't figure it out to save our soul. We were out there. I said, Bill, we may just have to unconnect your battery so the battery don't go dead. We had this thing that we did not understand. And because we did not understand it, we didn't know how to operate it. Do you understand that? So there are those people, when they come to Christ, they get with great gladness this forgiveness in their life. And then they don't understand it. And when the devil comes by, he takes it from them. Because they haven't done anything to learn about what's been given to them. Amen. They are not committed enough. They're just happy they got it. That happens to me all the time. I get a new car, I drive it home, and my kids will come over and say, "Hey, Dad, do you know it does this?" "No, I didn't know that. I was just happy to have a new car. I didn't care about all the things that it did." The other day I was someplace, and I went to one of my sons, and I said, "Hey, get me a tape measure. We got to measure something inside this building." And they all looked at me like, "What do you mean a tape measure? Get your phone out." I said, "I don't want to make a phone call. I want to measure the building." They said, "Get your phone out." I got my phone out. They push some button on the phone. This beam comes out. It goes to the wall. That's 25 feet, 6 inches. "How in the world did you do that?" I thought a phone was just for picking up and answering phone calls and making a text every once in a while. "Dad, you don't know what's going on. This phone is a lot more than that." That's the same way it is with the gospel. You know what I didn't care about? I didn't care enough about that phone to dig into it to find out all the benefits that there was in it. And many times when people receive the gospel, they receive with great joy the gospel. They get the forgiveness of sins, and it's the best thing that ever happened in their life. And then they don't do anything else with it. Listen, I don't know how many people that have come into this church, and they come down here to the altar and they give their heart and life to Christ. And they come and they say, "Pastor, I don't know what's happening. It's the best thing. You know, I started listening to Christian music now on my radio and it's awesome. And now, man, my life is different and I feel so much different." They never open up the Word of God for themselves. They never get into the Bible to begin to understand what God has done for them. They don't get into a Bible study here at church. They just come on Sunday and they listen to what I say. And they only understand enough about the gospel, and it's only what I tell them. And I got news for you. That's not enough. You need to understand what you got. I got this watch on my arm. It's for telling time. My son says, "Oh no, it's for much more than that, Dad. It tracks your steps. It tells you your heartbeat. It measures your heartbeat. It'll send it to your doctor." I said, "My watch." I said, "All I want to do is know what time it was." And you know what's so sad? At least for me, many of those people that I saw their eyes light up, I saw the joy of Christ come into their life. The problems and the concerns of this world came along. And now they're not even in church anymore. And they come and they say, "Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I have to work on Sundays and I don't have time to read. And I got kids and I got to get through life." And now I look at their life and that happiness is gone. That joy is gone. The birds have taken it away because they weren't committed enough to get involved to understand what God had done for them. And to understand all the benefits that God has for him in his word. And so they end up losing. And it breaks my heart. Because I see so many of the young people today, they come up. And in the world today, there is not many things that people are committed to. People aren't committed to family anymore. People aren't committed to spouses anymore. People aren't committed to their jobs anymore. And people aren't committed to God anymore. When something new like this happens in your life and you give your heart and life to Christ, my best suggestion to you is throw every book away in your house except one and start to read and start to understand what God's doing for you. Amen. Start to understand why it's important that you live this life, why it's important that you continue to grow in Christ. Because if you aren't growing, my father always told me this, if you aren't growing, guess what you're doing? You're dying. And so this seed got planted into their life, and instead of watering it, instead of nurturing it, instead of taking care of it, instead of understanding it, they weren't committed enough to it. And they walked away from it. And now I see their life, and it's even more miserable than it was before. The next one. "But he who receives the seed on stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yes, I am loved. Yes, I am forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. But look what happens. Yet it has no root, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So listen, I got to be honest with you. When I was younger and I gave my heart and life to Christ, and kids would come up to me in school and say, "Hey, did you go to church on Sunday?" "Oh, not me. I was in church. I was in church. I was in Sunday school. I was praising God." But it had no root yet. And so guess what? I wasn't committed to the gospel, and I was ashamed of the gospel. We used to go to the Liberty Pancake Festival every year when I was a pup. And I would think, "Oh, Lord, please don't let my friends be in there at the same time I am." Because my father would do the same thing. He would all hold hands, and we would begin to pray around the table for the pancakes. And I'd have, "Dad, please hurry up. Please hurry up. I don't want anybody to see me." I didn't have root, because I was coming to church on Sunday, and I was coming to Sunday school one day a week, and the other 6 days I was living for me. And when the tribulation would come because of the word, and because of not knowing who I was and why I needed it and why it was so important, it was in there. And every Sunday I was happy. I was in here praising God just like everybody else. And I could quote scriptures like the rest of them in Sunday school class. But it had no root in my life because I was not committed to it. What I was committed to was living my life my way out there in the world. And then you know what happened? I graduated high school. And then you know what happened? I quit going to church because there was no root in there. Because I wanted to live life my way. I finally was free. I could go do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And I didn't have to worry about somebody coming up and say, "Are you a Christian? Do you go to church on Sunday?" Because the way I was living my life, nobody would ever thought I was one. Now, I know none of you have ever done that. But I did not have a commitment towards God the way that he had a commitment towards me. I wasn't willing to surrender my life to him the way that he surrendered his life for us. There was no commitment. But can I share with you something? You know what Paul said earlier? "I know that I have been persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed." One day I was sawing lumber. I was a head sawyer in a sawmill. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Hey, you know that $100 you won at the furniture store grand opening the other day?" "Yep." I said, "Man, Lord, I make $3.35 an hour. That's a week's wages. That's awesome." He said, "I want you to go give it to so-and-so." Now, I know I'm running with the devil. I ain't in church. And so I know this can't be God speaking to me. But you know what God was trying to do? He was trying to persuade me that he was still alive. And so I went, after all day of arguing with God and going from 10% to 20 to 30 to 40 to 50, okay, I'll give him the $100, but I'm not going to be happy about it. I went back and I gave the $100 to Jim. And Jim started to cry. And he said, "You know, I've been praying to God. God, if you want me to stay here, then don't get me money. But God, if you want me to leave, get me bus fare." And bus fare was $100. And in that day, God showed me that he's still alive. He's still on the throne. I may have run, but he's still there wanting to be a part of my life. And I was persuaded that day that he's able to keep that which I committed to him. I wasn't very good at commitment. I didn't commit it to him very well, but he was going to help me honor that commitment. Amen. But I see so many young people and old people today, they make this decision for Christ, and as soon as somebody questions them, they run. You know, I remember sitting in this sanctuary, and there was a motorcycle gang that walked in the back door one day, and there was an altar call, and about a third of the motorcycle gang came down and gave their heart and life to Christ. And the next Sunday, the pastor asked the motorcycle gangs that had given their life to Christ to come up and share a little bit about what happened. And they stood up here and they just said, "This is the best blankety blank thing that has ever happened in my life. And we are so blankety blank excited about what's going on." And I mean, everybody was laughing. These guys were on fire for God. One of them liked it so much and was so committed to it, he memorized every word in the Bible. He would show up at my grandfather's house and my grandfather would quote a scripture and he'd say, "Yep, that's here and there and there." He was committed to what happened in his life. Here I was. I'm supposed to be the one who knows this. I got grandparents that are Christians. I got parents that are Christians. And I'm not committed to this gospel. Whenever the pressure comes, I get ashamed of the gospel. And I say, "Nope, I'm not one of those." And my life surely reflected I wasn't one of those. Then you get this one. Now, he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who has heard the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Oh man, I have been there and done that. When I got put out on my own, I was 18. I left home. I went to work in a sawmill in Georgia for $2.85 an hour, and then they raised minimum wage to $3.35. You ever try to pay rent and buy gas and pay for a car and everything else on $3.35 an hour? It don't work. So I knew what I had to do. I had to go work more. An average work week for me was 80 hours a week. So guess what? You know what my excuse was? I don't have time for church. The most I ever worked in one week was 121 hours. Now you say you can't work 121 hours. Yes, you can. I guarantee you, you don't have any time to get into the Word. You don't have any time to go to church. You don't have any time for anything else. I got news for you. But you know what started to come with all of those hours? I could pay for my house. Not only could I pay for my house, but I could also buy a pickup truck. And then I could also buy a motorcycle. And the more I bought, the more I wanted. And the more that I got, the more I wanted to work. And you know what I didn't have any time for? I didn't have any time for the motorcycles. And I didn't have time for all the stuff I was buying because I was always working to support those things. But I had absolutely zero time for God. And then one day I'm sitting there and I'm looking at all this stuff I accumulated. And I'm all wore out from working 80 hours a week on average to 121. And I said, "Man, I'm not happy." When you buy that thing for the first time, it creates happiness. Then when you got to go get it fixed or tuned up or its oil's changed or whatever, and you got to go spend time doing that instead of enjoying riding it, and you got all these other problems starting to happen with all this stuff. And you say, "Man, what am I doing?" And the Lord says, "Atta boy, you're finally catching on. Your happiness isn't created by all this stuff that you accumulate. Your happiness is created in me." Now listen, I know none of you have ever gone through any of this stuff. But I thought, you know, God's going to understand. I got to work every Sunday. I got to make money because I got to pay for all this stuff I got. The trappings and the riches of this world got a hold of me, and guess what I got committed to? Not God. And I know none of you have ever been there, right? We've all been there. Now, he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Next slide. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Well, how are we ever going to understand it if we don't ever get in it? I know we'll come to church every Sunday and Pastor Chip and Pastor Bill will give it to us and we'll understand it. That's like me waiting for my kids to come over to tell me how my phone and my car and all this other stuff works. No. If we want to understand how it works, we got to get into it ourselves. And you know what it takes for us to get into it? It takes commitment. We got to get committed to doing and becoming all that God wants us to become. And we got all these distractions and we got all these excuses we can make. But come the end of the day, when you and I stand before God, how are all those excuses going to work for us? Lord, I would have sought you more, but I had to work 7 days a week because I needed a new Harley. How's that going to work for me? Lord, I would have spoke up for you, but those people, they would have laughed at me if I would have told them I was a Christian. And Lord, you know, I don't want to be laughed at. So I didn't talk to him about Jesus. How do you think that's going to work for me on that day? Is it going to work? There's a scripture in the Bible for people like me. It says when you use that excuse, it says you're going to call for the mountains to come and fall upon you, to hide you from the face of God, because you're going to be embarrassed by how you wasted this life that God gave you. Now, all three of them things up there, I was. Until God kept on me and kept on me and kept on me. And he finally persuaded me that he was what was life was all about. He was the one that created life. And in him was life. And that I should not be ashamed. And I said, Father, I'm not going to be ashamed. And then I would go grocery shopping with my grandfather. I don't know if you ever knew my grandfather or not. But he was a man of God like I'd never seen. And we'd be standing in line. And he'd turn around to the person behind him and he'd say, hi, you know who Jesus is? And I'd want to cower down. And the next thing, the person gives kind of some kind of smart remark, and then Grandpa would just answer right back. He said, well, I really feel bad for you because you don't even really know what life is all about. And by the time we got through the grocery line, my grandfather would be praying for the person behind me. You see, if it falls in the good ground, it says we'll be able to tell if it's in the good ground because it will produce 100, 60, or 30 return. And the question keeps coming to me through the Holy Spirit is, Chip, where's your return? Where's the 100? Where's the 60? Where's the 30? So then are you committed? So I'm going to tell you something about the difference between committed and involved. Okay? And this is kind of going to be a little bit funny, but I hope it explains the point. Go to the next slide. Anybody know what that is? It's a happy face. Yes, it is a happy face made with bacon and eggs. It took two animals to make that breakfast. One was committed. One was involved. One was committed. One was involved. You see the pig up there? He gave his life for the breakfast. The chicken gave an egg. And the Lord would speak to me and said, which are you, Chip? Are you the chicken or are you the egg? Are you the pig? It's the first time in my life I ever wanted to be called a pig. Of course, now if you've ever seen me eat chocolate dessert, you know I am a pig. Okay? Certain things, can't help it. I shouldn't tell you this story, but yesterday, I'm home by myself, and so, you know, Emma and I root through the refrigerator trying to find something to eat, and I had to go pick up a prescription at Giant Eagle for Emma, and I was up there, and I thought, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken sounds good to me right now. I know I shouldn't eat this, so I go up there, and I'm going to get the snack pack, you know, or whatever. When I got all done, I ended up getting the 8 pieces of chicken only, and I went home and ate all 8 pieces of chicken. And then I had a peanut butter bar dessert I had made in the refrigerator, and I ate part of that too, because, you know, you can't quit without chocolate, you know. So I guess you could have called me a pig then. The pig was committed. When it comes to our relationship with God and with Jesus Christ, are we committed or are we involved? Yeah, we come to church, we sing songs, and then we go home. I want to encourage you. If you're not, find a Bible study someplace and get into it. You got to begin to understand this Word of God. You got to get into it yourself. You know, my grandfather, in the latter stages of his years, he lost his sight. He couldn't read anymore. He could still see, but he couldn't read. And I went over to visit him one day, and he was had a sad look on his face. And I never seen Grandpa with a sad look on his face. I said, "Grandpa, what's wrong?" He looked down at his Bible. And I said, "What's wrong, Grandpa?" He said, "I can't read." I said, "Well, I'll get you a giant print Bible." That worked for a little while, and he couldn't read that anymore. But what he basically said to me was this. I said, "Grandpa, give me the word. I'll read it to you." He said, "No, grandson, you don't understand. God speaks to me when I read his word." Whenever you opened up Grandpa's Bible or Grandma's Bible, every word was circled, every word was underlined, every word was highlighted. I said, "Grandpa, what's this all about?" And he said, "Grandson, the first time I read it, God spoke to me this way. It was the milk of the word. The second time I read it, it was the meat of the word. The third time, it meant this to me." He said, "The Bible is not like any book you've ever read before in your life." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You read any other book, it's got the same beginning, it's got the same middle, it's got the same end. Every time you get into the Word of God, it speaks to you right where you are." Amen. And he said, "I can never get enough of it. And now, grandson, I can't read it for myself." He was broken. And I'm thinking, "Lord, I don't have a hunger for the Bible like that." Well, I'm not as old as my grandfather, but my eyesight's already failing me, so I have a wife that's absolutely lovely. She bought me a giant print Bible, and I wore it out. John and Kathy used to laugh because the cover fell off of it, and I still would bring it in, and every word was circled, every word was underlined, and every word was highlighted. And you know what I couldn't get enough of? His word. Because every time I got into the word, he spoke to me. And now, my wife, God bless her, I can't read the giant print anymore, so I have a super giant print one from my wife. In the front it says, "Just because I love you." Because she knows I'm too vain to put the glasses on, but she keeps getting, I don't think they can get it much bigger. I think there's about 4 words per page now. You know what I can't get enough of? God's word. Because every time I get into the word, he speaks to me. And I got Bibles all over the place now. There's Bibles in the bedroom. There's Bibles in the kitchen. There's Bibles in the living room. There's Bibles wherever I go, there's Bibles. Because you know, the one thing that I can't live without is his word. And now I'm making that commitment to him. And now the things that I used to laugh about with my grandfather, guess what I do? I'm up at the Vianna Ale House having lunch the other day. Lou comes out of the kitchen, starts talking to me about the back surgery he's getting ready to go for. And the place is packed. And I say, "Lou, can I pray for you?" All the people at my table look at me like, "You're going to pray for him right here?" Yep. I stood up, put hands on him, and prayed for him right there. And I looked, and you know, everybody else is kind of looking at us like it's strange. And I gave him a big hug, and he said, "Thank you, brother. Man, I am not ashamed of his gospel anymore, because it is the power of God unto salvation." Amen. Why is it that we're ashamed? I was at that same place getting a pizza with my wife, and a young man came up to me. He was sitting at the bar drinking a beer. And he turned to me as my wife and I were walking to go to get a table. And he says, "Chip, my best friend, my father, is dying of cancer." And I said, "Good, let's pray." And he says, "Right now? Right here?" And I said, "Yeah, right now, right here." And my wife and I grabbed his hands in the bar, and we began to pray. I got something to tell you. That man doesn't have cancer anymore. God healed him. Huh? Now, the looks I got from the other people in the bar, like, "Who's this weirdo?" I don't care. You need to hear this. Amen. And I hope it sinks in, and I hope you think I'm weird, because I want to get that plant, seed planted in you. And now when I go into the alehouse, I get other people coming up. Will you pray for me? Yep, come on over here. I am not ashamed of the gospel because he was not ashamed of me. You see that hole in his hand? How committed was he? Are we as equally committed? I want to leave you with one last story while John and Kathy come up here. We're going to sing a song, maybe two. I don't know which one she's picked out. Her and I started on Monday going back and forth. One of the ones I hope she plays is, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. My grandfather came to me one Sunday. He came over to me and he said, Grandson, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I got to tell you this. Okay, Grandpa, what is it? He said, I was driving to work one day to the Isley Dairy and God spoke to me just as I'm speaking to you. And he said, today is the day, Lionel. Today is the day. Today is the day that you make a commitment to me or everything in your life will begin to go backwards from here on out. And Grandpa says, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a lay leader at church. I'm all these things. What do you mean, Lord? Make a commitment. He says, I want you to commit to me. I don't want you to be involved with me. I want you to commit to me. I said, Grandpa, what'd you do? He said, I stepped on the accelerator. He said, I don't know how many stop signs and red lights I went through. I don't remember closing my car door. He said, I got to my office at the Isley Dairy. I knelt down at my chair and I said, Lord, if you let me live long enough, there's a revival service tonight. And if there's an altar call today, I'm going to go down and I'm going to commit my life to you. Now, this is a man who's saved, who's already doing mighty things in the church. And he said, Grandson, I was involved. I was still playing church. I wasn't committed. And he said, that night I went to that revival service and there was an altar call. And he said, Uncle Charlie was there and Uncle Ray was there. And all of them were there. And he stood up when there was that altar call and he turned around and looked at the other two and he said, you need to get this too. Get down there with me. And he went down that day and he committed his life to Christ. And he said, Father, whatever you ask me to do, I will do. Now, how many of you remember my grandpa? I mean, he did not mess around. I mean, he give you the gospel. He give you the gospel in love, but he was not ashamed of it. He made that commitment to God that day. And the very next day, he got a call from a lady. Said, Lionel, you're supposed to come preach in my church. And Grandpa said the same thing that always came out of his mouth. Oh, that's easy. I don't preach. I do Sunday school and I do this. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Lionel, I thought you committed your life to me and would do anything I asked. He said, Grandson, I had to call that lady back and say, yes, I'll come. He said, I don't know why I'm telling you that, but God told me I'm supposed to tell you that. So guess what? When this call came onto my life, God said, are you going to be involved or are you going to commit? And I remembered the story of my grandfather. And I said, Lord, I want to commit. I want you. Then what do you think you better do? And that's why I'm standing up here right now. I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to sing two songs because I hear singing both of them up there. If you don't mind, I know it's late. But the one is, I surrender all. As we sing this song, I want you to ask yourself the question, have you surrendered all? Are you involved or are you committed? Are you the pig or are you the chicken? In this case, it's better to be the pig than the chicken. And then the last song we're going to sing is, I have decided to follow Jesus. The altar will be open if you need more prayer, if you just want to get down here and just say, Lord, forgive me. Today, I want to commit my life to you. I want to follow you no matter the cost. And then I'm going to pray when they're done.
Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me? I've been amiss, and I felt bad a couple times, but I keep forgetting. So I don't want to feel bad when I leave this time. But those that are online watching, my Aunt Clara, whoever else, sing with us when we sing here. I can remember when I was little and Billy Graham was on, black and white, and they'd be singing, and Mom and Dad, when I was real young, would sing right along. Okay, we're going to sing I Surrender, the first and last verse.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever know and trust Him in His presence day.
Heavenly Father, thank you Your word is true. It says, Father, you are the faithful one, and you changed. Oh, Father, forgive me for all the times that I changed. Forgive me for the times when I was involved and not committed. But, Father, hear my prayer. I am committed to the one who is committed to me. Oh, Father, I know whom I have believed in. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, Father, the harvest fields are plentiful and the laborers are few. Oh, Father, help us. Give us the boldness that we need, Father. Father, give us the boldness that we need, that we can go forth and proclaim with great gladness this gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, let us not be ashamed, but Father, let us be proud partakers in the sufferings of Christ. Because Father, that's what you've called us to do. It's not about us, Father, but it is all about you. And so Father, we thank you for this word today. Let it sink into our hearts, Father. Let it challenge us this day as we go forth this week. And let us stop and think, Father, about whatever we're going to do or whatever we're going to say this week. And let us, Father, stand proud in who we are, Father. We are your sons and your daughters. Oh, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the commitment that he made to us. And now, Father, thank you for this commitment that we make unto you. And Father, to you be all the honor, the glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You are dismissed.